to John chapter 1, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for your presence in our lives. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have sent to us to teach us and guide us. Show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. Father, we thank you for the cross that made all the difference in our lives. It set us free from the law. It set us free from having to try to earn our right standing with you because we never could. We thank you that the blood of Jesus has placed us into your presence. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing, we're going to continue on where we stopped last Wednesday, but the devil absolutely hates grace. The devil hates grace. He hates it with a passion. He hates grace. And it amazes me how many religious people he uses to beat up on other Christians that are trying to follow grace. And here's the problem. Here's how that happens. You know, we run all over the world and we tell people you are saved by grace. And that's true. There's never been a more true statement than that. We're saved by grace and it might be by faith. And then, for some reason, people will say, okay, now, here's these five things. Here's these 10 things that you must do to get to heaven. Well, are you saved by grace? Or are you saved by your works? Now, one of the coolest things that I got a picture of one time, you know, Jesus was on the cross. And there was a guy on each side of him on the cross. One guy was railing accusations at him or whatever he was saying at him. And the other guy said, he looked over to Jesus and said, Jesus, remember me. And Jesus said, this day you will be in paradise. In paradise. See, Abraham's bosom was the place, the holding place, before Jesus made the way to heaven. Nobody, you know, there was nobody in heaven. Did you know that? You know why there was nobody in heaven? Because we got kicked out of there. We got kicked out of the presence of God. See, and the devil had access to the throne room. That's why he was at, that's why in Job's trouble, the devil was up there at the throne. But see, the cross made all the difference. The devil got kicked out, and we got brought in. Amen? We got brought back into right standing with God. I can't express enough. I can't put enough emphasis on this one verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 says that you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That literally means you have been put into right standing with God. When Adam was in the garden, he was in right standing with God, and he sinned and he got kicked out of the presence of God because he was no longer in right standing with God. And in all them thousands of years, we came up with all these different man-made religions and ideas on how to get back into the presence of God. Well, we couldn't do it. Only God could build that bridge. It took one lamb, two boards, and three nails to bridge that space between heaven and earth. And that was God getting into our presence. And he invaded our world In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld Him, and we called Him Jesus. Jesus is the Word. John chapter 1, verse 17. See, God did what man could not do. You see that? Man had been trying to get into the presence of God for thousands of years, and God got into the presence of man because of Jesus. Isn't that just like people to get it backwards? John chapter 1 verse 17 says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Grace and truth came. We call Him Jesus. He is grace and truth. To have the abundance of grace is to have the abundance of Jesus. How are we going to do that? Remember, the Bible tells us to believe on Him. How He did it. Believe what He did for you on that cross. See, I can't remember how many different scriptures there are in the Bible where it talks about in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. They're talking about you. You know, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're the, you know, you're temple of the Holy Spirit. You're all these things, but it's all wrapped up in Jesus. Amen? So when you start finding those are called new creation realities. When you start looking at those new creation realities, you start finding yourself in the Bible. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, "Well, I don't know who I am or what I'm supposed to be doing." I actually knew one lady, she broke off like 20 years of marriage. Said she was going to go find herself. 25 years since she needed to go find herself. The Bible is where you're at. I don't know why people are so shocked to hear that they will find themselves in the Bible. Jesus found Himself in the Bible. Why would we be any different? Remember, Jesus opened the Bible and He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." What was He doing? He was describing Himself in the Word. He found Himself in the Word. And He was agreeing with what God had to say about Him. That's what we do. That's true Bible humility, is to walk around agreeing with God and saying what God says about you. You're not being arrogant. You're not being puffed up. You're walking in true Bible humility. Now, the law was given, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, if the devil can keep you under the law, he can keep you defeated. See, the law defeats people. I don't know how many people I have literally run into that they were done with church. Period. Said, "Why?" Said, "Well, I can't live up to that stuff, and neither can the preacher." They're right. They're right. I don't, the people, when they hear sin preached all the time, what are they going to do? They're going to sin. If I was to sit here and tell you, "Don't you dare drink, don't you smoke, don't you cuss, don't you run around with girls that do, you just stay home and read your Bible," what are you going to do? Eventually, if I tell you that enough, eventually you're going to go out there, drink, smoke, cuss, run around with girls that do. Why? Because that's the law. The law does you little to no good. The law is holy, just, and good. Don't get me wrong. The law is holy, just, and good. But the law will not lift one finger to help you be holy, just, and good. Only Jesus can do that, because he was the only one that could fulfill the law. Did you know that it's our Lord's good pleasure to see your family blessed, your storehouses overflowing, your body full of the resurrection life of Jesus? That's what he was all about. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you could have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. I mean, too much life overflowing out of you. You're not going to receive that by trying to earn it. You're going to receive it by sitting down and receiving it. You're going to have to just look at this new creation reality. When you got born again, you got seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at the right hand of God. I mean, you're sitting down. When you're sitting down, you're not working. You're receiving. You only can receive. You know that guy on the cross next to Jesus? He never got water baptized. Did you know he never prayed in tongues? He wasn't a big Bible reader. This one will get him kicked out of a bunch of places. He wasn't a big tither. You know, he didn't fast till he got on the cross. There's a whole bunch of things he didn't do, but he got into paradise that day because he called on Jesus. His hands were nailed to the cross. All he could do is call on Jesus. And that's all you can do, is call on Jesus. Amen? Today, when we call on Jesus and get born again, we're instantly in the family. We have access to God. We're no longer strangers from the covenants of promise. We become joint heirs with Christ Jesus. It's a good thing. Here's the thing about grace. See, it's undeserved. It's unmerited favor. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 tells us, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. See, sin is, grace is not a license to sin. Grace is not a license to sin. Hey, this is one of the things, this irritates me worse than anything. It's always religious people and pastors try to tell me this. You're one of those grace guys? I said, yeah. That's just sloppy grace. You guys just live by sloppy grace and license sin. I said, that is not true. Sin irritates me the same as it does you. But I receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. That gives me an opportunity to rule and reign over sin. And I'm letting Jesus' life live in me so that I can have victory over that sin. I can receive his victory over that. Amen? You know, I got to tell a story about my friend. He's been through the ringer. He was mad. He had been going to the Catholic Church for trying hard. And he said, I just kept getting madder and madder and madder and madder. And then my wife and I got divorced, and the priest said, I need to talk to you. He said, we need to talk about this divorce. So he said, well, okay, because he was trying hard. And he went in there and talked to the priest. The priest said, we talked about it, and said, under normal circumstances, when you get divorced, you get excommunicated from the Catholic Church. But we decided that if you pay us $1,500, that we can go ahead and keep you in. And he said, that was it. I was really mad then. He said, I never went back. He said, that was it. But see what happens. See what happens with religion and man-made laws. It ruins people. When we look to God and find His way of doing things, it sets us free. Jesus said you would know the truth and the truth would make you free. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56. You know, it's kind of eerie. I talk to a lot of people. And they'll be talking New Testament stuff. But they'll still be talking law. How can you do that? You can do that. You can do anything. You can twist the word however you want it to work for you. I try to tell them, you know, you got to stay on the grace side of things. Amen. They say, well, what's that mean? So if you're trying to earn anything, if you're trying to attain to anything, if the pressure is on you to perform, if the pressure is on you to be good enough, stop. Stop. You're on the wrong side of the cross. Even if you're in the New Testament, take the pressure off of you. Put it on Jesus. He did it. So now, Jesus, my life is hid in you. Now there are some things about me that really irritate me. Will you help me with these things? You know, when we get born again, we get sanctified. That means you literally get set apart for God's own use. But there's an ongoing sanctification too. You know, you can go through life and He'll find something, He'll carve something off of you. You know, and then He'll add something new. Remember, He said He's the husbandman. We're the branches. Jesus is the vine. He's going to mold you. You know, He's going to keep carving stuff off of you, but He's going to keep adding stuff onto you. You know, pretty soon, He's changed you so much that you don't even recognize you anymore. You know? But it's His job to do that. It's not ours. Amen. It's not ours. It's not ours to do that. Do you know that it's not your job to decide what your kids are going to be when they grow up? That's God has some ideas about Junior. And He would like to be a part of this. Now, we're big in America. We say that you can go and you can do anything that you want to do. You know, we have a free country. You know, and the sky's the limit for people. The best thing to do is to check in with God and say, what do you want to do? I, 30 years ago, I never thought about asking God about what He wanted to do with me. And if I would have heard Him say, I want you to be a preacher, I'd still be digging a hole. I'd be trying to find me. I was really concerned about God. God scared me. The devil scared me. Hell scared me. Religious people drove me nuts. I didn't want nothing to do with none of it. I wasn't around anybody that was actually walking in grace. There's a better way to live. You know, he can get you out of this. What I heard was a lot of law. They'd tell me stuff, but they'd say, you need to quit drinking, you need to quit smoking, you need to quit hanging around at the bar, and then you need to marry some young girl, and then you need, they'd always throw that in. Then go to church. It was like, I'd look at them old ladies and I'd say, you know how many times I quit drinking? Every morning at about 4 o'clock. And I'd start back up 5 that afternoon. They couldn't understand it, but what they were doing, they were getting that verse that said, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, backwards. They were telling me, if I would not fulfill the lust of the flesh, I'd be able to walk in the Spirit, basically. See how important it is to rightfully divide the word of truth, get it right. Now, what they should have been telling me in my drunken stupor said, come on to church and hang out. And then let God kind of get some stuff done to you and change you from the inside out. And then you'll be able to quit drinking and smoking. And you see how important it is to get it right? Get it in order? Verse 56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The devil uses the law to beat Christians up. He does it all the time. And the church helps him with it a lot. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 3. I'm going to show you something. I'll show you one of the ways that they get this mixed up. Romans chapter 10, verse 3 says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. There is such a thing as positional and conventional righteousness. So what theologians will tell you is, even though you were made righteous by grace, you now have to do right and keep the law to continue being righteous. They evidently forgot 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, where it says it is a gift of righteousness. I mean, you cannot earn it in any way, shape, or form. It's not possible for you to earn it. You're the righteousness of God, period. When you get born again, the blood of Jesus is applied to you and your sins are washed away and you are put in right standing with God, period. If you hear anybody ever tell you that your righteousness is contingent upon your right doing, get away from them people. Now, let's address that. We have right doing because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? And now we have been created for His purpose, remolded, and He sends us out into this world and we do right things because we've been put in right standing with Him. Amen? Don't get it backwards. Don't get it backwards. There's nothing that you can do. Get a hold of this. This is a biggie. There is nothing that you can do to make God love you more. Some people can swallow that. But there is nothing that you can do to make Him love you less. That should make your heart flutter just a little bit. When you make a mistake, God loves you with the same love that He loves Jesus with. He loves you unconditionally. See, we don't have a grasp on this. This is a covenant love. This is a no matter what love. And we're in this covenant. Jesus is the head of our covenant. And we're wrapped up in Him. The Bible tells us that as He is now, so are we in this world. How is Jesus today? He's pretty good. Things are going well. And we're in Him. See, we got to look at ourselves positionally where we are in the Spirit. We're in Him. Things are pretty good. I like what one old guy used to tell me. He said, and he listened to all my problems. And I'd go through all this long list of challenges and how, why everything was so hard. And he'd say, so fundamentally, everything's okay. I said, what do you mean everything's okay? My life's falling apart. He said, you're breathing, ain't you? Yeah. One lady said, write all your needs down on this piece of paper and you'll find out how bad things really are. So I wrote all, I was going, she said, no, cut the paper in half. And I said, okay. So she said, give me that paper. So finally she had it ripped down to a little piece of paper like that. I said, you can write all your needs on that piece of paper. She said, you need food, clothing, and shelter. Now, do you have your needs met? And I said, well, yeah. And fundamentally, everything's okay. Amen? Americans are awful spoiled.
Yes, sir.
Awful spoiled. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. I'm not boring you, am I? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Wow. Apostle Paul said, wake up to righteousness and sin not. And he's talking to the Corinthian church. And this makes religious folks' heads spin. I tell them, said the Corinthian church was a mess. You know, these guys were getting drunk in church. They were sleeping with temple prostitutes. You know, and some of the people have taken some of this stuff out of context. They tell the women that they need to cover their heads. Because Paul was telling them, said those temple prostitutes, they'd shave their heads. Said, you tell them to cover their heads. He wasn't talking to Christians. He wasn't talking to Christian women. He wasn't doing that. But people have taken something out of context and made a doctrine out of it. And there's a lot of suppressed women running around. Amen. But people will take things out of context and make a whole doctrine out of it. My friend, he was a pastor, and I used to go talk to him a lot. I really looked up to him, and he said, I got to tell you a story about me. He said, I drank a half a beer one time. So, wow. And he said, according to my denomination's rules, I can't be a pastor. Because I drank a half a beer. Why so much legalism? Why so much pressure on people? Set people free.
Amen.
Show them the love of Christ. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace is your opportunity to walk in the liberty that Christ has put you in. Walk in freedom. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 tells us that there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. When you realize that you're in Christ Jesus and you make a mistake, how many of you have been told when you sin, you need to get on your knees and ask God to forgive you? How many of you have been told you need to go to confession before you can do anything? Grandma. I was raised up in the after I got born again and started learning stuff. I was starting to learn, and one of the things that was really impressed upon me was 1 John 1:9. Says that if we ask God to forgive us, He is just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Amen. But do you realize that John wasn't talking to Christians right there? He was talking to Gnostics. And he is telling them that if you ask God to forgive you, He will. What was he telling? He was witnessing to Gnostics in that chapter. And he was talking about Christians in verse 7. He's telling these Gnostics that if you walk in the light, and we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. That's our position. The blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. Amen? Now, does that mean that you go out there and find you some special sins that you can go out there and revel in and be all right? No. You know better than that. You know better than that. You know that if you drink too much, you're going to get cirrhosis of the liver. You're going to get DUIs, all kinds of different troubles. I didn't say drinking was a sin. I said getting drunk is. Yeah. Yeah. You know you can't go sleep with your neighbor's wife. You know that. You know sin's wrong, and it has harmful effects on your body and your soul. What the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace does is it helps you to stay away from that. You'll be led by the Spirit. As many as are the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. And if you'll let Him, He'll tell you. You can have conversations with Him all day long. You can hear Him walking in the store. He'll tell you no. He'll tell you yes. He'll tell you go. He'll tell you stop. If you'll listen to Him. Amen? Sometimes people around me, I'll drive them crazy. Because we'll be driving down the road. We'll be going one way. And God will just say, hey, you need to get down here to your goats. So I just said, okay. So I just turned around. My wife said, what are you doing? I said, I got to get down to the goats. Why? I said, well, I don't know. We're going. I'd get down there, the dogs would be out. Something. There'd be something that needed us to be there. You know? I'm a big one for, if God tells me a time to get going, get going. Get going at him. We battle that one. Because I'll get up and I'll be ready to go. And she'll want to stay there and fix her hair just right. And I'll say, woman, we got to go. What is your hurry? I don't know. But we got to go. We got to go. And then you really should spend some time just letting the Holy Spirit lead you through your day and get some practice on it. It's fun. It's fun. If you let it be fun, it's fun. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for everything that Jesus has done for us on his cross, in his death, his burial, his resurrection. Father, we thank you for what the blood has done for us. The blood of Jesus has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. And it continues to do for us what we cannot do. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over our families, our animals, our jobs, everything that we have. And we thank you for your protection over our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.